as you'll probably find out if you haven't. There's something about Charlotte that, you know, when you're here for a little while, it can just kind of take you over and you learn to love being here.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Amplifier, the music podcast where we shine a light on the Charlotte music scene. Because Charlotte is more than just a banking city or a football city. So each weekday during the month of September, we're going to explore the people, places, and things that help define the Queen City's crown sound. And today, we'll hear from a true rock and roller who isn't afraid to kick butt, take names, and make lifelong friends along the way. That's coming up on Amplifier.
Amplifier. And then the beat will drop.
Amplifier.
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 Can you tell me who you are and what you do in the Charlotte music scene?
I'm Bruce Hazel from the rock band Temperance League from Charlotte, North Carolina. And I am the singer-songwriter, guitar player, promoter, emailer, returner of phone calls.
How did you get started in music, Bruce?
Wow, that's a tough one. I guess when I was about 16 years old, I really got into listening to classic rock records and put down the baseball bats and stuff and realized that probably a guy like me, the only way I was going to get in with any girls or anything was probably to try to learn how to play guitar. So I started doing that.
Well, you're saying that baseball players can't get
no,
with anyone?
No, I'm saying that I was no good. I was no good at baseball or football. I tried that route and you know, while riding the bench, I probably was listening to a Walkman most of the time. And so,
well, when was the first time that you picked up an instrument?
Right around there, 15, 16, I started taking some home guitar lessons and just trying to pick out stuff that I heard on the radio in my records in my bedroom. So
now, yeah. This wasn't in Charlotte, right? This was in New Jersey?
Man, you did your research. This was in New Jersey first, but then my family relocated to Charlotte. And the latter part of my high school career, I made some friends that were interested in the same thing. And we started our own little band and started playing around Charlotte at nightclubs and bars when we were just 16, 17 years old. So
you were playing in bars in Charlotte, North Carolina, when you were a teenager.
I think back on it now, you know, because my wife and I have raised a 21-year-old. So I look back on it now, and I'm like, what is wrong with my parents? Why did they let us on a school night, too? I distinctly remember playing. There was this place called The Cellar on Moorhead, right over by where Bank of America Stadium is now. But and they had like college night on Wednesday night, which is really funny because a bunch of high school kids playing on the college night. But my parents would let us go out, all our parents. I mean, it's like five of us in the band, five sets of parents, and would let us go out and play on a school night. So it was pretty cool. I guess Charlotte was considered pretty safe then. I guess we probably weren't going to get into, well, they didn't know what we were getting into, really. But
what were you getting into?
Nothing, really. We're a bunch of nerds. We didn't drink or anything back then. We just played music. That's what we liked to do, so it's pretty much the same now, I guess. So
what kind of music were you into back then? Before you started actually playing music, were you listening to that kind of Bruce Springsteen sound? Were you listening to
That's
new wave?
That's pretty obvious, I guess, right? I loved like the American singer-songwriter book. You know, I grew up, like you said, in the Northeast, so that all those kind of guys come along with it. I still am a huge Springsteen fan, but then there's, you know, and Tom Petty and John Cougar Mellencamp, and then later came guys like Tom Waits and Warren Zevon and Elvis Costello, Neil Young, you know, all the singer-songwriter bandleader guys is who I was really drawn to and probably who I tried to emulate and learn from.
Tell me what it was like for you playing your first gig in Charlotte. Do you remember that moment?
I do remember because another cool thing about Charlotte back then was they had this this teen center, which was supposed to promote you know, keeping kids, giving them something to do on the weekends instead of maybe going to a party and drinking or something. They had these alcohol-free events. They called them the teen center dances, but they had bands. They had high school bands play. And that was the thing. All the guys and bands wanted to get the teen center gig. I think they even paid a little bit. It was like free pizza and $100 or something. I know. So it was an amazing deal. I mean, that's basically what we make now. So, yeah. So we would play those things and it was a blast, you know. And you'd play all night too. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like nightclubs nowadays, you know, if you're on a 3-band bill or something, you play 40 minutes. We played 3 hours, you know, so it was a great learning experience. We learned everything on classic rock radio, and we were playing original songs right from the beginning. So, wow. You know, we'd mix in a Pink Floyd number and an original number and just play all night. You know, it was a blast.
What was that first band that you were in? What was the name of it?
I know why you're trying to get to this, because I know Chris Garges has been here already. Chris Garges, who owns Old House Studio now, and Justin Faircloth, who is in the Houston Brothers and Ancient Cities. And I both, the three of us, along with a couple other guys, had a band here in high school called Relayer, which is named after one of those Yes records, which is really odd for a guy like me, that prog rock name. But, I think teenage boys all go through that prog rock period too. So, especially when you're playing an instrument, because you got to learn all those riffs. And we made our own little EP and had a cassette tape for sale. I mean, we were entrepreneurs, man. We were out there trying to make it happen at 16, 17 years old.
What would you say was the end of the band's Relayer's musical life?
I mean, it was just high school ended, you know. So that
it's
was
that
it.
Simple.
That
just high school it. Being
yeah,
over.
That
graduation.
Was everybody had to go to college. Everybody went off to school, but me. You know, I was under the delusion then. This was 1990, so probably should have been out in Seattle. But I was under the idea that you could still keep playing in a band and something would happen for you as long as you stuck to it. So. I wasted a lot of time thinking that. You know, I think back on this a lot because there were so many scenes I was so close to. If I had just maybe gone off to Chapel Hill or something, I maybe could have gotten involved with some of that scene there. This has happened many times along the way in my little musical journey. I seem to have been either one step ahead or one step behind some kind of scene. And I'm not complaining. I didn't come on here to give you my sob story this morning. I just find it interesting when I look back. I'm like, well, damn, if I had just turned left there, I maybe might have been in the Avid Brothers. I don't know. You know, who knows?
Could you have been the third Avid brother?
I can't grow a beard, so probably not. But, you know, like my wife was good friends with Bob and the bass player Bob. And I remember, you know, like right as the Avid Brothers were getting started around here, there was a Creative Loafing music article, and it was like the best of kind of thing, and they had an article about the best record of the year, and it was like the first Avid Brothers record was tied with the Houston Brothers record. It was like this article of like whose brothers band's better, you know. I was like sitting at the Comet Grill with Shane, who's my wife now. We're just sitting there, and Bob came up, and he was playing with a friend of ours band, and we were asking about that, and he said, well, actually, I'm getting ready to join this band called the Avid Brothers. So, you know, it's just all these kind of things. I guess if you're in anything, any field long enough, you're bound to run into successful people, I guess. So
I do want to talk about you being in your teens and actually producing a record, yeah. And not to mention the gigs and everything mm-hmm. else, because at that age...
Yeah,
I mean, I can't imagine myself knowing how to play a song, have the chutzpah to get on stage to perform that song and then be able to record that song professionally.
Well, that's why it was easy, because we really didn't know what we were doing. So, I mean, we didn't have any inhibitions about it or any fear, really. I mean, it just seemed like something cool to do. And, you know, this is funny because you're always trying to get back to that initial excitement. you know? And the first time I think you get together with some other guys and you just hit a chord together that's in tune, it's so exciting. You know, after doing it for however long we've been doing it now, 25 years or 30 years. yeah, you're just always trying to get back to that, for me anyways, you know. We make plans, we share dreams, we make promises we couldn't keep. We said
forever, that was something we couldn't understand. That was Bruce's band, Temperance League, with the song Forever. It's from their 2017 release, Space Aquarium. When we come back, Bruce Hazel on the origins of Temperance League, and that time they performed with the Grammy Award-winning Alabama Shakes in Charlotte. You don't want to miss this. Coming up on Amplifier. Hey, Amplifier fans. If you're looking for another podcast filled with stories from the South, I would highly recommend listening to Southbound. Hosted by Tommy Tomlinson, the Southbound podcast takes a deep dive into the lives and tales of Southerners, some of whom you may know and some you should really get to know. I'd recommend listening to the Southbound episode featuring Dolph Ramser, where he shares how he grew up on a dirt road in Concord, North Carolina, and how he eventually became the manager to the Avid Brothers. It's a really great tale, lots of things to learn from it. You can find the Southbound podcast, including that episode, right now on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and on WFAE.org. In the meantime, let's get back to our interview with Bruce. Tell me how Temperance League, your band, came together.
Well, it's funny because it's kind of started as we were just kind of the last man standing kind of thing. When I first came to Charlotte, I was still doing the solo acoustic thing and traveling around in a pickup truck with an acoustic guitar. So I'd work some weeks, some months here in Charlotte, work on recording, work at the bar, and then go out for a few weeks, drive cross country and stay with friends and play. And then still building up my songbook and recording, demoing songs. And then something just occurred to me that I wanted to try to get involved and invested in the community around here. So I started to arrange a fundraiser type of thing. We called it the Fool's Brigade Benefit. And we did it for like 7 years. And it was a blast, man. We just get everybody from every different band that wanted to come play. And we pick an artist to cover for the night. So we did like Tom Waits, we did the Kinks, we did the Stones, we did David Bowie, among others. And you know, we'd have like a month-long rehearsals and leading up to a big show, and you know, we'd have 30-40 musicians come and go, and I just got to know all these guys. But after all the years of doing that, there were always 5, 6, 7 guys at the end of the night that just didn't want to go home, that wanted to keep playing. And Darren and DK and Jay and Sean and Chad and Eric and Mark Lynch. And, you know, these would be the last guys standing. So when the benefit ended, we did it in April. And, you know, so all March and April we'd be playing. And then May would roll around and I'd be like, you know, I don't know what to do. And so after about 7 years of that, I just called some of those guys up and I was like, man, we should play, you know. So that's, it just kind of started that way. So somehow between about 2003 to now, we've all been working together in one facet or another. And the last, I think, maybe eight or since about 2011, we've been calling it Temperance League and been making records.
Where did that name come from, though?
well, you know, here's the thing about that name. I've never really been fond of it, but it's like any
band name. But you kept it for
name.
7 years.
I know. Well, it just kind of stuck, you know, like any, I mean, I guess U2 isn't the greatest name ever either, but you just get kind of used to hearing it, you know. But really, to be honest with you, I've tried to change it a few times.
Really?
And we've, you know, we put so much work into it, it just seems silly, you know. People recognize it. And it's a tough one for some people to pronounce, too. So
I've been having to steady myself in saying it aloud. But I think it rolls off the tongue eventually once you said it so much. Maybe that's the promotional pull of it. You have to say it so much.
See, I always thought it was the opposite. I thought the band name should be really easy to pronounce and easy to remember. It seems like the dumbest promotional tool. To have the opposite, where you have a really hard to pronounce name, but you get what I'm after. But anyways, I think it was just the joke of that we all like to partake in hanging out and having some alcoholic beverages, and the idea of the Temperance League was like being part of the Young Republicans Club or something. So it's just ironic, I guess, is what we were after.
Well, we just mentioned it, but you've been working with this band now in a variety of ways for over a decade. But the band itself, the first single. It looks like it was released in April 2011. What was it like putting that together with the band?
What was it like? It was amazing, and it was exciting, and it was like being back, like we were talking about earlier, like being back in high school and feelings of just getting excited about playing music again and rejuvenated and just feeling like excited and free and everything that goes along with rock and roll music. I was like searching for rock records at the record store again and buying musical gear, because when you do it for so long, you tend to, I don't know if jaded is the right word, but you just tend to get a little tired and maybe a little bored. So that, starting that project, and also Sean got us in with Mitch Easter. How do you work with one of the greatest producer to come out of North Carolina, one of the guy that made some of the records that we grew up listening
REM,
to. It's like, so what could be more exciting than that,
and from that self-titled first full length back in 2012 to last year, your fifth LP, would you say?
That's full length, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Space Aquarium.
Space Aquarium, yeah.
Looking at the list of records, your discography, it looks like Temperance League has released a record about every year and a half.
Yeah, we've tried to.
Since 2011.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing that you guys have been able to work that hard to create that much music. Because not a lot of, some bands and some artists, it takes, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years for a record to come out. They might have singles or EPs along the way. But you guys, you're thinking we're doing a full length every year or so.
Well, it's because we're all getting older. I think just because you start to realize that you don't have as much time as you thought you did, that maybe you should hurry up and start doing some of the things that you want to do.
But you're saying this as a 46-year-old.
Yeah.
But you still got plenty of time on you.
Well, yeah, but
Because I do want to mention that when looking into your guys' press releases, reviews, interviews.
They love to mention how old we are,
they
right?
They love to mention how old you are, that you are dinosaurs. There's one quote in particular. I got it from the U.S. National Whitewater Center's River Jam website, mm-hmm. which is where you guys performed with them.
We did during the amoeba outbreak of all things.
Oh, I remember that. but in it, they said, basically, while youthful rockers spend punk energy and inspiration and the hunger to make their mark, this band, your band, Temperance League, is powered by something maybe even more urgent, the ticking clock.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a good one.
And it's I think it's funny, but does it wear on you to hear those kind of comments of the age or the, being like established, but in not like a, good sense, maybe more in like a old sense?
No, not at all. I embrace it and I write about it all the time. I think, if anything, I've been the one to put that out there because, just talking with you right now, you realize how long I've been playing music and you start to look back on that and it started to influence my writing and, yeah, so I was probably putting it out there first, so I'm glad somebody picked up on it. Other than, if you come to see us live, we have gray hair,
Gray hair's hip, though, right?
That's what they keep telling me. I'm sticking with it.
But you've worked here in Charlotte long enough to know that there's a great amount of talent. What is the one thing about the Charlotte music scene that makes you want to stay here and work here?
Well, it's a community. Like I said, I've made some of the best friends of my life here. I've enjoyed playing and learning. I've picked up and learned so many things from the crew of guys that I've been with. That's my favorite part about it because, you know, there's plenty of scenes and plenty of bands and plenty of guys that are in bands where it's more like a job. And maybe even they, you know, like there's all kinds of ways to put a band together, but maybe they've met through some kind of ad or an agency put them together. And this is not like that at all. These were just my friends that, you know, were like, well, we enjoy spending so much time together playing. We should just form a band so we have a reason to do it every week. Because, you know, at this point in our career, too, I kind of liken it to the average dad has his bowling night or his poker night or whatever. And we have band practice. So Mondays we get together and we have band practice. So.
And then you go bowling afterwards. I see that one of the strengths, it sounds like, in the music scene here in Charlotte is the camaraderie, the passion for playing music for the sake of playing music. Mm-hmm. What would you say then is something that you haven't seen here that would really help with the music scene?
Well, I don't want to be negative, but it's something that has kind of bothered me. And we kind of mentioned maybe off air earlier, but there's some acts from this area that have really gotten big in the music scene, have been really successful. And I just feel like that maybe they don't mention Charlotte or involve Charlotte as much as they could to maybe just to be proud of the scene that they came from, a scene that embraced them and that helped promote them, that helped get them onto their feet. You know, I watched... I love to watch on Saturday mornings. CBS has a variety type show, and they have live music on there. And
they have great music.
Yeah, they always have. They have like John Borland or Wilco or something that you wouldn't see on average late night television. But and Jonathan Wilson of Muscadine fame from Charlotte. He and Benji Hughes had a band here in Charlotte, and Jonathan went on his own and built himself a huge career out in Los Angeles and deserves everything he got. But the interviewer asked, you know, about his roots and where he was from, and he said the South, which is true. But I mean, you know, it would have been nice to hear Charlotte, North Carolina, and maybe a follow-up question about what's going on there, how, because I know it comes through here. And you know, guys like the Avid Brothers have, you know, like look what just Bob from the Avid Brothers reaching out to David Childers. And Dave, you know, has been plugging away at this. You know, he's older than me and been around a long time, and he's a brilliant songwriter and a terrific guy. And, you know, just a little bit of the help that the Avid Brothers cover in one of his songs and then Bob making a record with him. You know, I just feel like that if some of these more successful acts from this area took a little bit more time to just try, I mean, it wouldn't even take much of their time or energy to just try to help out the scene a little bit. I think that's one of the key things we're missing here, because something like the Seattle scene where they all kind of had each other's backs really helped that blossom. So what's good about the scene is the hell everyone is still does stick to it and is out there every night of the week and how much joy and how much passion there is in the scene, how much community there is. So it's good that bedrock is there.
Speaking of the community around music, I was looking at your old touring history and what you've been able to do with national acts. And it looks like a couple years ago, Temperance League opened for the Grammy winners, Alabama Shakes in Charlotte. And I read that you all received such a great reaction from the thousands in the crowd that the Alabama Shakes actually urged you guys to get back on the stage after your set and do an encore.
Yeah, they were pretty cool about it, yeah. And, you know, we were caught a little off guard, so we didn't know what to play. And, Prince had just passed away the night before, and I wished we had had a Prince songwriter or something. But
that would have killed.
I know. See, another missed opportunity. But, yeah, those guys were very cool to us, and... you know, that's another thing about this. You know, there's some really great people here that are really supportive. The folks at Live Nation and the Fillmore have been in this area, the regional folks have been really supportive of us. And because that was the opportunity that came up that day. Their opening act had fallen through, and I got a call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon saying, can you be here in a couple hours? And I said, yeah, you know, we'll be there. And if, a couple of years prior to that, that same crew of folks got us a big gig at the Bobcats Arena at the time, Warner. Oh, the Spectrum Center, excuse me, is what they call it now. Anyway, the big basketball dome to play with Bob Seger, to open up for warm up for Bob Seger. So we've been fortunate to get on some big bills and have people behind us. And, you know, I mean, because they could have called anybody at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, I said yes before I even spoke to anybody from the band, too. So I don't know what I was going to do if nobody could make it.
You would have just been the one man band of like the cymbals, yeah. And your shoes had all the like percussion on it. It would have been great. But I'm glad it worked out for you all.
Me
and,
too.
And it really does warm my heart that you, granted, it's a hometown crowd, so they should love you because you're from the city. But it warms my heart that you all received that amount of respect and love in front of a quote unquote national touring band, because sometimes you go to shows and that opening act gets no love. They're the ones that
we've experienced that,
and it's sad. Yeah. And it's like people just then, you know, they're not listening, or they show up halfway through because they're waiting for the headliner to come on. And it's nice to see that there are still moments with listening to music live that you're given that respect.
That was a pretty fun special one for sure.
So what is it that you hope to accomplish then with the band moving forward?
You know, that's funny. You should have like a business plan. You should have that in mind. Exactly.
$10,000, national press and Rolling Stone.
I think really, you know, we just all want to, at the end of the sessions, we all just want to be happy with what we've created and just be excited about it. So that's all. And getting back to that, the same thing that we were talking about, those high school days, Just discovering something is what's exciting about it, and I think that's the path we're on right now.
Bruce Hazel's latest release with Temperance League is titled Space Aquarium, available on temperanceleague.bandcamp.com and wherever fine music is streamed and sold. Amplifier is a production of WFAE. This episode is written and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Cole Del Charco. Our editors are Greg Collard and Jadon Marshall. Our theme music is provided by Dirty Art Club. You can share your favorite Charlotte music recommendations right now on social media. Just follow and tag me. I'm at A Change of Tune. New episodes of Amplifier drop each weekday this September. So make sure to subscribe to the Amplifier podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and wherever you find podcasts. For more Charlotte music chats, including playlists and even a Charlotte music map, visit wfae.org/amplifier. Until next time, I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.